Okay, so last time we talked about the origin of Kriya Satora and the question of whether it was Moshe, whether it was Ezra, different texts, but then we moved into the more practical question of who's obligated in this mitzvah of Kriya Satora. And we began to say that there are three approaches to the nature of the mitzvah. So the first approach to the nature of the mitzvah came from the Tosfos in Sukkah, which I did carry over onto the new sheet. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Aleph, that talked about the shul in Alexandria, which was so large that they had to wave flags to let people know when they were supposed to answer Amen. And Tosfos' discussion about, well, how can you do that? How can it be Yotzei a bracha if you didn't actually hear the bracha? And his answer is, you can't. That system worked for brachos that don't fulfill an obligation for you. You just want to be able to answer Amen. And Tosfos' example, if you take a look at the last line that I had excerpted in that source, on the new sheets, it's source base. So he gave the example of Hainu B'Kriya Sefer Torah. He says, like in reading the Sefer Torah, the bracha is not for you. And that suggests to us that Kriya HaTorah is a communal obligation, it's not a personal obligation. We just need to make sure there is a Kriya HaTorah, but we don't even need to hear it. That's one view. Second view is attributed to the Magen Avraham, and I brought you Reb Moshe and his explanation of the Magen Avraham, and what he's going to suggest here is that Kriya HaTorah is an obligation for the individual to hear. He's not dealing with the shul in Alexandria, but he's saying that Kriya HaTorah is an obligation for me to hear it, but not to read it. And take a look at Reb Moshe here in Source Gimel. Hine, Hamagen Avraham Siman Resh Pei Beis Sivkat An Vav, that's in Hufos Kriya HaTorah for Shabbos, Hevi Mikneses HaGedola, Shakatan Eino Yachol Lios Makri. The Magen Avraham quotes quotes the Knesset HaGedola to say that a minor cannot do Kriya HaTorah. V'eksha Prima Gadim, to which the Prima Gadim challenges and says, what do you mean? I learned the Mishnah in Megillah. Hakatan Ola Leminyan Shiva. The Prima Gadim asks that in the Mishnah, in Megillah, it says that a katan can count for the seven. How is he going to count for the seven without reading? Afsha Bizmanam Haya Ha'ola Atzmo HaKorei V'chazin and Shemotzi. In those days, the person who got the Aliyah was the Baal Kriya. So he is doing it for everybody. V'im Kein Yachol Lios Gam Makri La'olam Acherim. And in fact, then he could also read for others. Because the whole idea is that the gadol is only required midrabanan, and therefore the minor, who has maybe the issue of chinuch obligating him, that's a derabanan as well, is on the par with the gadol. So the prima gadim challenged the Magen Avraham for his disqualification of, the prima gadim challenges the Knesset HaGedola for his disqualification of the katan. The nisher b'tzarach iyun v'hitya machmazeh b'sh'as adchak she'en sham gadol she'yachol ha'kri, such that he actually ended up saying, I don't know, and he would permit, if there is no gadol who knows the laning, so he would permit the minor to do the laning.
I didn't know the katan could get an aliyah.
The Mishnah Megillah, katan ola l'minyan shiva. So he says, Hanachom lefia niyaz daiti litareitz divrei Magen Avraham. He says, it appears in my humble opinion that the answer is, we can explain the position of the Magen Avraham by saying that Kriya HaTorah is not like Kriya HaMegillah. It's not like benching. When you're dealing with benching, or when you're dealing with Megillah reading, I have an obligation to read, and so do all of you. However, when we all listen to one person say the words, then we fulfill our obligation with his words, because it's what we call Shomea Ka'one. One who is listening is as though he has actually stated the words. He says just the opposite. Not only do we say that by listening you are actually as though you said it and therefore you fulfill it, you couldn't fulfill the mitzvah by saying it yourself. Why? Because if you were to sit on your own and say the entire parsha, lo yatsa. That tzarech davka mispar kruim chalukim lefi hayamim, right? We need a certain number of olim, depending on which day it is. Shabbos, I need 7. Yom Tov, I need 5. Whatever it is, but there's a set of olim. He says, Kriya HaTorah is not the same thing as these other mitzvahs. These other mitzvahs, I have a personal mitzvah of benching. I have a personal mitzvah of reciting Megillah. And I can be outfit by hearing somebody else bench, by hearing somebody else say the read the Megillah. But he says, Kriyas HaTorah can't be my personal mitzvah. Because if it was, then you're going to be telling me that I could actually do the laning myself. And that's not true. I'm not seven Olim. I'm not a minion. Right? So he says, V'nimtza she'ikar ha-din eino she'yiyya one, eladavka she'yishma eich she'mispar anashim korin ha-Torah. He says, the mitzvah is not for you to recite it. The mitzvah is for you to hear a certain number of Olim get Aliyos. That's it. My mitzvah is to hear seven Olim do Kriyas HaTorah. V'lachein mistaber she'ein tzarech klal she'akora yiskavein lahotzias hatzibur b'kriyaso. He says, therefore, it's logical to say that there is no need for the person who is reading to have in mind, I am fulfilling this for them, because he's not. They didn't have an obligation to read it. V'gamein tzarech she'yuchal lahotzios. I mean, there's no need for it to be somebody who's eligible to fulfill it for them, i.e., an adult. Because he says hearing how other people read is fundamentally each individual in the community hearing the reading. And there's no need to fulfill it for them. So the position that Rav Moshe is presenting here is that the reason why a katan can get an aliyah is because he's not fulfilling something on my behalf. It's not that he is doing the mitzvah and I am answering amen to him. Rather, all I have to do is hear Sheva Olin. I have to hear seven people get Aliyos and Lain, and that's it. You follow? Yeah.
Will that also be true with
right, so Parsha Zachor, I think not. Because I think there's a mitzvah of Kriya. But that's actually subject to debate. I shouldn't say that for sure. That really requires its own analysis in terms of what the mitzvah of Zohar is.
Even if it's derisive, it's not so clear that reading it in a minyan can give or so.
Correct. That's why I'm saying I'm backpedaling on that one. That's not clear-cut. But that's the second point of view. So the first point of view, Tosus's point of view, is that there's a communal obligation that Kriyas HaTorah should exist, and I don't even need to hear it. The second view that Rav Moshe is articulating here is that Kriyas HaTorah is a mitzvah for me to hear Kriyas HaTorah, but not to actually recite Kriyas HaTorah. The reason why this is such an important point, and we're spending the time to make sure that it's understood, is because if we're going to move into the discussion about women being able to lain, so if you're going to tell me that women are exempt from the mitzvah, right, jumping ahead, but let's say you're going to tell me that women are exempt from the mitzvah, Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore they can't lain for me, because one who isn't obligated can't fulfill the mitzvah for someone who is obligated, that's only true if the ole, or ola, is supposed to be doing something for me under Shomea Ka'oneh. But if they're not fulfilling an obligation for me anyway, it's just that I have to hear somebody do it, they're no different from anybody else. So that's why this is such an important point. Are they doing a mitzvah for me, such that we have to have the same level of obligation? Or are they simply causing it to be heard, and that's good enough? Follow? Anil, you had a question?
I mean, we don't, like you said, we don't, the people doing the, people getting the aliyah aren't also waiting for their aliyah business.
Right.
So, the few is to hear, it's still just to hear, is it to hear the, like, the bracha beforehand, or is it to
good question. We have to come back to this. We're not there yet. The third approach, different approach, is that core aliyos are for everybody. Meaning that there's a certain number of aliyos that are required. And that are required in the sense that all of us are required to read them, but the way we do it is by having one person get the aliyah and we answer amen. Okay? And that's a certain number of the aliyos. And then the rest of them are not. Why would we say that some of the aliyos are and some of the aliyos are not? Because remember that the Mishnah in Megillah is going to tell us that women and minors count towards the Minyan Shiva. If you're going to tell me that women are not eligible to lain and get an aliyah on my behalf, right? If that's your point of view, then how did they count towards the seven ever? So the answer is going to be that they counted for some of the seven, but not for all of the seven. Some of them are a requirement for them to lane and meet a year. And some of them are just nice things that we add as we're going to see. Take a look on the sheet. It's source Dalet. Commentary of the Rambam to the Mishnah in Megillah. Okay, Perek Dalet Mishnah Vav. So the Rambam there says, Katan Korei Batorah, that's the, from the Mishnah that the Katan can do that. Amar Echad Min HaGaonim HaAcharonim, Shezeh Achar HaShlishi. He says, one of the later Gaonim, don't know who, but one of the later Gaonim said that that's only after the third Aliyah. Three Aliyahs have to be by the person who is Mechuyav, who's obligated, and the rest of them not. That's the position that he takes. The Me'iri has this as well. I didn't bring it on your sheets, but the Me'iri in Megillah of Gimel Amad Aleph, starting Hakol Olin, has the same idea that a minor can read after the only the later Aliyos, and presumably that explains the following line in the Rama. Take a look at source Hay. The Rama writes, quoting the Ran, "Ve'elu davka mitzdarfim aminyan hakruin." He says these he's talking about women and ketanim. So these are only mitzdareif. They can join in for minyan hakruim, for the count of how many people get aliyos. Avaloshe yiyu kulam nashim oketanim. But not that they could all be, only some. Where is he getting this idea? It's really the Ran he's quoting. But the answer is from this idea that the olim are, that there are certain olim that are for everybody. We all have a chiyuv. And then it's shomeya ka'ona. We're hearing them and we are answering. And the others, and the other aliyos not. In the tradition article that I've been mentioning all along, so if you look at footnotes 114 through 117, he brings some sources in there to suggest that the reason for the rest of the aliyos are either barovam hadras melech, so the more the merrier, or kavod hayom, because we're showing that Yom Tov has five and Yom Kippur has six and Shabbos has seven, distinguishing it from the three aliyos that are daily. Those are possible explanations for how we end up with these extra aliyos. Taking this third approach, which is a prominent approach, certainly, that there are certain aliyos that we are obligated to hear, we're obligated to recite. How does the Oled do it for us? So that's the principle of Shomea Ka'ona. And we're going to need to spend a little time now on Shomea Ka'ona. So take a look, please, on the sheet at source Vav. Yerushalmi Brachos Gimel Gimel. Yerushalmi says, Kol She'eno Chayav Badavar, Ein Motzias Harabim Yidei Chovasan. If someone is not personally obligated in a mitzvah, he's not able to do that mitzvah for others. And when we say you have to be a bar chiyuva, you have to be obligated in the mitzvah, what that means is that the person doing the mitzvah and the person for whom he's doing the mitzvah have to have the same level of obligation. So either it's voluntary for both of them, or it's rabbinic for both of them, or it's de'oraisa for both of them, or obviously that the one performing the mitzvah actively has a greater obligation. That's also good. So if the person who's doing the mitzvah has a deoraisa obligation, and the person for whom they're doing the mitzvah has a derabanan obligation, that's fine. You follow?
Is only Yerushalmi that one?
No. It comes up in the Bavli also, but I like quoting Yerushalmi. Take a look at Sor Zayin. Take a look at Sor Zayin where you see the Gemara in Brachos Chaf Amid Beis, where it comes up regarding benching on behalf of somebody else. Amar Le Ravina La Rava. Ravina says to Rava, Nashim bebirkas hamazon de'oraisa o de'rabanan. He says, women, do they have a biblical or rabbinic obligation when it comes to benching? Why would women's obligation for benching be only de'rabanan? They eat de'oraisa. Why is their benching only de'rabanan?
They don't own
land, correct. It's not time bound. Technically, you have to bench within a certain amount of time after eating, but you could eat at any time. Unless you'd be saying, because you can't do it for Yom Kippur. That would be an innovative read, therefore it makes it sign drama. Because the Torah explicitly links benching to your receipt of the land. They don't have a portion of the land, so the argument goes, maybe it's the Rabbanan. With various applications. Sorry? What about Pnoslefa? This pasuk comes later than them, it's aware of them. their nachala is only given to them by inheritance from their father. Right? Mm-hmm. When they do the chiluk haaretz, are out. They're only getting because they're inheriting their father's five chalakim, the ayin shem b'vavasra. So the question the Gemara asks, though, is who cares? Whether a chiyuv is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, they still have to bench. So l'may nafkamina, l'afuke rabbe midei chavasan. And the answer is for them to bench on behalf of others who will then answer on me. I amr d'oraisa, asi d'oraisa, umapik d'oraisa. If their obligation is biblical, they can fulfill it for women and men. The amr d'rabbanan, but if it's only rabbinic, havi she'enu mechuyuv b'davar, then they are somebody who is not obligated. And if you're not obligated, you can't do this on behalf of other people who are obligated. So that's the idea, that you have to have an equal or greater chiyuv. In truth, there is a case in which one who is no longer obligated, but was, can do the mitzvah for somebody else. Okay? If you were obligated at one point, but then you fulfilled your obligation, you can still do the mitzvah for somebody else, right? Classic examples are in Arvei Pesachim. This comes up, the whole discussion of Yatza Motzi for Kiddush and Havdalah. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which is the one that I bring you here on the sheet in Soros Ches. Tani Ava Vrei D'Rabbi Zera. Kol HaBrachas Kulan Af Alfi Sheyatza Motzi. For any bracha, even though you fulfilled your mitzvah, nonetheless, you are allowed to fulfill it on, I'm sorry, even if you fulfill the mitzvah, you're allowed to perform the action again on behalf of somebody else. Chutz mi birkas halechem u birkas hayayin. Except for the bracha on bread and on wine, and here the issue comes up of whether this is a birkas hanehenin or a birkas hamitzvah, a bracha on enjoyment or a bracha for a mitzvah. Shim lo yatza motzi vim yatza eno motzi. If you haven't fulfilled your obligation yet, you can do it for others. But otherwise, you would not be able to. So, you have to be a bar chiyuva, but then even if you fulfilled your obligation in general, you can do it for others. Why do you have to be a bar chiyuva in order to do it for others? So take a look at Rabbi Akiva Eger in Source Test. Ra'isi od l'hagon gogo mirvava b'simen hanal diyasa lidon b'davar chadash. I saw the dagol mirvava went into a new discussion. D'ish shekvar hispalel. He said, a man who has davened is not able to daven and fulfill the mitzvah for somebody else. For a woman, I should say, excuse me. Duhu mechuyev derabanan, because his obligation is derabanan at this point, just as a generic mitzvah of tefillah, there may be a derabanan. Velomapik la mechuyeva deoraisa, but he can't fulfill her biblical obligation. Why? The reason why I am able to fulfill a mitzvah for you, even after my obligation has been rendered, is because I am arev to you. Kol Yisrael arevin is zebazeh. Arevin is taken in a lot of different ways, but the basic meaning of arev is to be a guarantor. It can also mean to be mixed in with others, ta'aroves, it could be arev to be sweet. There are all sorts of different meanings that you can associate with it. But as a basic statement, kol Yisrael arevin zebazeh means that every Jew is a guarantor for every other Jew. And therefore, my chiyuv to make sure that I eat matzah is not really complete yet, because you didn't eat matzah yet. And therefore, my mitzvah is not done, and my chiyuv still remains with me as your guarantor. You know what a guarantor is, right? Just like the guarantor has to pay the loan on behalf of the person for whom he co-signed, potentially, so too, I have to make sure your mitzvah is done. So he says, "Dahadi yotzimotzi humitam arevus." V'nashim einan bechlal arevus kamo shekasav harash brachos. This is still the Dagam Ravava talking. He says that women would not be a part of arevus. The argument is that arevus, this joint responsibility, is only among males. That's the position of the Dagam Ravava, quoting that Russian brachos. Ela de mistapek de efshar da arevus da anashim gamal hanashim raknashim de atzman einan areven. There's some doubt there. Maybe men have an arevus obligation for women to fulfill theirs, but not that women have it in and of themselves. I'm not going to go into the ins and outs of that position. Okay. He's going to reject it.
The sources back this up at all, so you know, maybe it's just across the board.
Yeah, but there is room to make the argument men to say that Arabis is men only, yeah. If he has me after, I can give you.
Even even his first point, maybe go there. That once we're only there Rabbanan, and they're still there Raisa, so that's not a. Isn't that the whole idea of Yatsam Motsu that we already spoke about?
Right. So he's saying not, but not because of this, because you don't have a Ravus to them. In other words, yes, Yatsam Motsu would work, but only if there's a Ravus.
It's not because of the different levels.
Correct.
That's irrelevant then.
Correct. V'ledvarav, so according to his words, Isha Shayadza Yedei Kiddush Ene Yechol Lahotzi La'Achera Shalayadza. According to him, there's no Ravus for women among women either. So therefore, a woman who already fulfilled Kiddush couldn't say Kiddush on behalf of another woman. That's all a quote from the Dogel Meravava, because they don't have a Ravus among themselves.
A Ravus is not a category by
women. Correct. That's what he's suggesting. V'lo Nira Kain, but Rabbi Kiv Eger disagrees. V'ein Chilu Klal Bein Isha Le'isha Le'inyan Ravus. He says there is no distinction between men and women as far as Arevus. Arevus applies to men and women equally. There's no such thing. You can't find a source that says that women will not have the principle of Yatsamotzi. Elanira, Lefinia's Daiti, the Kavanas Harash Lachalek Bein Yatsamotzi, Ubein Eno Machuyu Bemitzvah Zube Atzmuso. He says what the Rush was doing was saying that there's a difference between Yatsa Motzi, where I had an obligation, I fulfilled my obligation, and now I want to do the mitzvah for somebody else, one type of a case, and the case of somebody who was never obligated in the first place. Eina mochiv mitzvah zu be'atzmuso, or as the primers like to call it, he has no inherent obligation in the mitzvah. None at all. Arevus rak b'mi shemechuyev gamkein b'mitzvah zu. Because Arevus, the whole principle of Arevus is that my obligation in the mitzvah includes making sure that you do the mitzvah. But that means that I had to have had the obligation in the first place. If I never had it, I have no obligation to make sure that you fulfill it. It doesn't fit. That's the limit of Arevus, Rabbi Kiv Eger says. Mishumachi, therefore, Avshu Kvar Yatsala Atzmo Motzi La'Acherim. Therefore, even if I fulfilled my obligation, I am able to do the mitzvah for somebody else. Aval, however, the mitzvah she'eno bar chiyuv v'klal. If you're talking about a mitzvah where there is no obligation, I have no obligation. Such as taking the view that women don't have a biblical obligation in benching. Then they wouldn't have any arevus for it either. But where they have an obligation in a mitzvah, so they will also be subject to arevus. And the principle of yatsamotzi, that having fulfilled your obligation, you could still do it for somebody else, that will apply to them. You follow? That's Rabbi Kiv Eger's position. So the position that he's taking is that shomea ka'ona, right? The idea that the person getting the aliyah can perform for somebody else is working under, is going to apply the principle of Shomea Ka'ona is going to apply to help you fulfill your obligation via the Oleh. That will work even if the Oleh has already personally fulfilled the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah based on what we're now saying, Yatsamotzi. But if the Ola had no chiyuv at all, then it doesn't work. If the Ola never had a chiyuv, then there's no such thing as Shomaya Ka'ona. Now here, the firmers add something, which I tried to find the basis for it in the sources they were quoting, but the more I read it, the more it sounded like this may be their own. It makes sense. But I didn't look up all of their sources on it, because you need all the time in the world and then some. But what they argue is, we have certain mitzvahs for which we say that once people have accepted it upon themselves, it becomes obligatory. Right? Kiblu alayu kechova, nasizam kechova, like marid as one potential discussion of that. So he argues, they argue in the article, that being a bar chiyuva does not include where you accepted the mitzvah upon yourself, and then it became obligatory. So even if one was to say that the women have accepted Kriyas HaTorah, and now it's going to be their mitzvah too, he will not accept that makes them eligible to get an aliyah on behalf of somebody else. That, I believe that's their chiddush. They don't present it that way, it sounds to me like that in the article. I didn't see any of the sources that they quoted actually saying that. I could be wrong. It's pages 71 to 76 in the article, if you want to take a look at it. Yeah?
When did you say that the
We haven't said that yet. All we're doing right now is really outlining Kriyas HaTorah with random references to women. We have to talk about women's obligation as a separate point and where the idea would come from that they would be exempt. Yeah. Adam, you were going to say something? Okay. So we've now talked about where Kriyas HaTorah came from. We've talked about who is obligated in the mitzvah and outlined three different points of view. Within the point of view that you actually have a personal obligation to read, we've said it works via Shomea Ka'oneh. And Shomea Ka'oneh will work, even if the Ola already got an Aliyah, as long as the Ola has an obligation in the mitzvah. That's the key.
The three points of view were, the third one being this Perush Rambam?
Yes. Rambam, Rambam. Yeah. A and B together?
I mean, the first three Elios are really... Oh, I don't know. How do you view that, actually?
It's that the first three Elios are my obligation, everybody's obligation to read it, and the others are just something that the Tzibur does. I don't even know what to call it.
Are the first three Elios the same thing as Tosfos?
Tosfos said, I have no obligation. Tosfos said, I have to just make sure somebody's reading.
And Rav Moshe said...
And Rav Moshe in the Magen Avraham... said that that I have to listen, I don't have to read it. This is really a third view, it's really separate. Because it puts the onus on me to recite Kriyas HaTorah effectively.
You mean it's just from the fact that it has to be a guttal?
No. It's the way to look at Kriyas HaTorah. The outgrowth of it is that it has to be a guttal.
Who's the source that says that?
It's a fundamental way of looking at Kriyas HaTorah. It's the nature of the mitzvah.
And you want to ascribe the Rambam to that based on the fact that it says it has to be a gadol?
The fact that the Rambam says that after the first three Elios or whatever it is, yeah.
Is there another way to read the Rambam? And the fact that he says the first three have to be a gadol, does that mean it has to be a personal mitzvah?
Well, why else would he say it? What other explanation would you come up with?
Why can't you say the same thing as Tosfos? The community is a chiyuv to read it.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily have to hear it, it just has to be there.
And the cousin doesn't count towards the community reading it? I mean, Tosa isn't giving me any definition for who has to be an Olam.
Right.
So I don't know. It's an interesting idea.
I don't see why not. I don't see why you can't say that. It's because we require a gadol to do it. You still say gadol has to do it and not say it's a personal Olam.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, all three positions are going to have to account for the fact that it says there that a katan and an isha can do minyan shiva. So each one is going to explain it in a way that's consistent with their point of view. Yes. So that's all about Kriyas HaTorah in terms of the nature of the mitzvah and the origin of the mitzvah. But when we get an aliyah, we make brachos. And that has to be discussed as well. What is the nature of the brachos that we recite on Kriyas HaTorah? So you have to go back to the Mishnah in Megillah, Dalid Aleph, which I think we had on the sources last week. I didn't bother to reproduce it on the sources this week. But the Mishnah there explains that Kriyas HaTorah originally was with a bracha by the first Ola to open it up, and a closing bracha by the last Ola to conclude it, and then they switched to have every Ola make the bracha. The reason we said was Mishum HaNechmasin and Mishum HaYotzin. The reason was because of people who come in late who didn't hear the opening bracha, and people who leave early and therefore miss the closing bracha. Ah, how is it that people are showing up late for shul? Kasha. Nonetheless, that's the concession is, okay, fine, we're going to have brachos for each of them. How in the world did you just change your system of brachos on behalf of this, right? How did you go from two brachos on Kriyas HaTorah to 14? I mean, we normally don't do things like this. So that's something we have to discuss. But in order to get to this, we have to first ask, so what exactly is this bracha? Right? We have three different types of brachos. We have three types of brachos. We have the bracha of birchas mitzvah, right? A bracha you make on performing a mitzvah. You have birchas shavach vehodah, where you praise Hashem. Hashem is wonderful. He makes thunder and lightning and rainbows or whatever it is. And then you have birchas hanen, a bracha on things that you enjoy. So what is Birchas HaTorah? How do I understand Birchas HaTorah? Clearly it's not Birchas HaNe'en. As much as we enjoy Kriyas HaTorah, it's not going to be called Birchas HaNe'en. It's not, eating a cookie. So maybe it's Birchas HaMitzvah, maybe it's Birchas Shavach La'odah. Right, what would you say? Both. Why both?
Because you're doing
yourself.
So that makes it a mitzvah.
Well, my book, Brachos, are we talking about specifically before laning, or now with Brachos Torah?
I'm talking about on the laning specifically.
Because we already said Brachos Torah in the morning, so it's going to be a Brachos Mitzvah.
Good. How can it be Brachos Torah? How can it be Brachos Mitzvah? You did your Brachos Torah in the morning already. So that makes it Brachos Shavuot HaOdah? Maybe. Maybe. It's formulated a little bit like a Brachos Mitzvah, but what's missing from what you normally see in a Brachos Mitzvah? Sorry, I had asked him to take pictures a while ago, but then he said he wasn't going to show up, so I didn't know. Asher Kitchanu, right? There's no Asher Kitchanu that's a Safet Sivanu. Right? You don't say the Brach of Lasuk with the Vrei Torah, it's Asher Brach Rabanu. That makes it sound like Shevach Vahodah. So the first view that we're going to present is indeed a view that it's Berachas HaMitzvah. And that's in this Tosfos here. This is one of the classic Tosfos, source Yud, regarding the discussion about women reciting a bracha on mitzvahs they accepted upon themselves optionally. Right? The classic machlokas Ashkenaz Sfard about whether women are able to take on a mitzvah from which they are exempt and recite a bracha which says, Asher Kitchanu Mitzvah Sevet Sivanu. Thank you, Dan. This is one of the main Tosfos that this guy, that comes up a few places in Shas. So here we see, V'rib Rav Yehuda mevi raya, the nashim mevarchas al kol mitzvahs haseh she'azman grama. The Rib Rav Yehuda, proves that women recite a bracha for every active time-bound mitzvah they choose to perform. How do you know that? Midamrinan, because the Gemara in Megillah says, Hakol ola leminyan shiva, vafilu isha vafilu katan. Vafagam, the isha in a mitzvah lasok batara. Women have no chiyuv of lasok batara, and yet they're making this bracha. So we see in this Tosfos a few things. Number one, we see the assumption that you're only obligated in Kriyas HaTorah if you do Talmud Torah, if you have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, right? Because he says women are not obligated in lasok batara, and therefore they're not obligated in ola leminyan shiva. So that's a side note we have to come back to, but that's just because the question was already asked. That's one point. Number two, we see him making the assumption that when we say women are getting the seven aliyos, they're getting a bracha aliyah, right? An opening one or a closing one, but they're making one of the brachos. Otherwise, what is he proving here? Right? Are you with me? And third, obviously, he's also, yeah. First point is, he says, he's equating obligation in Kriyas HaTorah with obligation in Talmud Torah. Because he says women are exempt from Kriyas HaTorah since they're exempt from Lasok B'Torah. Number two, he is assuming that women are actually reciting the brachos. Because otherwise, how is he proving that they can make a bracha on a mitzvah Siman Grama from the fact that they get an aliyah? He's assuming they're not just getting an aliyah, they're not just getting chamishi. They're getting either Rishon or Shvi. And number three, he is assuming that this is indeed a Berachas HaMitzvah. Because otherwise, what's he proving? You can't prove that they can make Berachas HaMitzvah from here unless this is Berachas HaMitzvah.
So,
yeah.
Even if you assume that Asher Brach Rabbanu might be Berachas HaMitzvah, is there any way to say that Bracha after the Aliyah is Berachas HaMitzvah?
Why is it any different?
You make a Bracha on Asiyah?
Except when we don't. Because Hidayah and Mikvah.
Yeah, but here, you see both Berachas HaMitzvah, before and after both Berachas HaMitzvah.
It's a good point. There is.
And then you always have shtetl, you know? And it's also done, dry after the bracha.
Yeah,
Mikvah, you go to Tovel again after the bracha.
Because you have options. Here, what are you going to do? You're right. And actually, remind me later, I can send you. I gave a shiur once on a medrash on Parshas Kisava, where they talk about why you have a bracha after, as well as the bracha before, and they parallel the benching. And there's a whole discussion about the bracha before and after eating, and the bracha before and after getting an aliyah. It's a very interesting connection that's made. But you're right. Maybe we should be splitting. Maybe we should say bracha before is Berachas HaMitzvah, bracha afterwards is Shevach HaOdah. Maybe. The Rashba comments on this, and I brought it in Source Yud Aleph. He says, V'chein hiskimu, they also agreed, Shemuter lenashim levarich al kol mitzvah saseh sheazman groma, ve'af al pi she'ena lahem el rishus. They can make a bracha on time-bound mitzvahs, even though they're optional. D'mikol makom b'mitzvah ka'aski, because at the end of the day, they're doing a mitzvah. Who cares whether they're obligated? V'chiyuba hu delo chayvin hu rachmana l'me'av ka'anashim. Granted that Hashem did not obligate them the way He obligated males, Ela Dibo Avdi, they can just choose to do it if they wish. Vitzivanu Karinin Bahu, that's good enough to say Vitzivanu, even though it's not really Vitzivanu. Umidamrinin b'megillah hakol olam minyan shiva v'afil isha lekaraya. But he says, don't prove anything from Alios for Kriyas HaTorah. The Dilma Hasam ba'ola ba'emza. Shenim avarechas. Shaloha yiragil mavarech. Halarishon va'achron. Kisa asim parakha koreis ha'megillah omid. He says, don't prove anything from Alios because maybe they got one in the middle. Maybe they didn't get Rishon or Shmiri. Ve'od and further. Disha'ani birchas ha'torah she'ena mishum shinun. And he says further, the bracha on the aliyah is unique because it's not on the mitzvah of shinun, which I added in brackets, Talmud Torah. Sharei afilu birei chalat Torah o shenifter ba'ahav o'rabba v'chazer v'karav v'beis ha'knesses chozer mavorek, because you made birchas ha'torah this morning. You get to shul, you make an aliyah, you're making them again. If it was really a bracha on Talmud Torah, you were yotzei with a bracha this morning. Why are you getting up and making a bracha again on the aliyah? Yes, we generally assume yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, that would be cute. But then you have to ascertain that someone there actually hasn't said birchas ha'torah. You have to like the appointed person who will not say birchas ha'torah. But that's the argument that he makes is you can't prove anything from aliyos. Number one, because maybe the women get the middle aliyah. And number two, because birchas ha'torah isn't on Talmud Torah. Because if it was, you would have taken care of it with your bracha on Talmud Torah that you made every morning.
What? You say you can't prove
just to finish the line in the Rashba. The Shayafilu birchas ha'torah o shenifter be'avarabba. So you said Avarabba, and that counted for your birchas ha'torah if you didn't say it in the morning. Because of a current base of Knesset, and then you get the aliyah, chozum b'varech, you're making another bracha. Dahachi iskun davya mitzvah b'fnei atzma. V'heim aru shafilu yishak sherola. He says, the truth of the matter is, that the way birchas ha'torah works, and the way the aliyah works, is that it's this unique bracha for the takana of Kriyas HaTorah. It's not about Talmud Torah in general, and a woman can do it too. That's his suggestion. Adam, you were going to say?
This is all proven. I understand what he's trying to prove.
The Rashba is saying that women's ability to make a bracha on birchas, a bracha on a mitzvah from which they're exempt is not derived from Kriyas HaTorah. You can't prove anything from Kriyas HaTorah because it's not necessarily birchas hamitzvah on Talmud Torah. Women may well be obligated.
When he said earlier that they maybe they got a middle bracha, isn't the whole point that in the middle aliyah they didn't say a bracha? Okay, never mind.
That's the point. I mean, either they didn't say bracha, or even if they did, it's not a bracha.
Right. Exactly. So the Rashba is against this view of the Ri that this is a birchas hamitzvah.
Right. That's really the shaft of the conversation of
correct. Well, what it has to do with us is ultimately the question is going to be, are women able to get an aliyah, make a bracha, and fulfill my obligation if it's really Shomei HaKa'oneh?
Meaning, he's saying women can get an aliyah.
He is, Ri or Rashba?
Even Rashba is saying they can get an aliyah and can make a bracha. It's
correct.
Just not that you don't learn that to any other conversation about women and brachos on mitzvah.
Well, the Rashba is going to be fine, because the Rashba isn't taking this as a brachos on mitzvah at all.
Right.
He's thinking it's brachos shevach v'odah, and presumably, anybody who is going to be Meshabayach is going to fulfill it. If anybody else is Meshabayach, I see lightning and you see lightning and you say Osama Zabrashis, I can say Amen, it's your bracha.
So if we view it as a mitzvah then, and we hold it to rush for the women can't get an aliyah for us.
Yes. Yes. If we, Pagin and Dibura, but yes.
The problem, I think it's important what I said before, that if you don't read the Rambam, if you don't read that Perash Rambam as assuming that there is a, that it's obvious that there is a... I haven't seen a source that suggests clearly that there is an opinion that Kriyas HaTorah is a chiyuv on each person. I mean, we're saying theoretically that could definitely be an opinion, but if,
yes.
But if there's no source like that, then maybe the whole sheet doesn't exist. You know,
the problem is that all of these are built out of inference. All the sheetas are built out of inference. Saying that it's a communal mitzvah that everybody just has to make sure that there is a Kriyas HaTorah is also by inference.
Right. And, but if we don't assume that, then the whole conversation becomes much more calm. No?
Yes. Yeah. So this is all within the question of is it a birchas mitzvah. However, the Rashi seems to say that it's not. Rashi seems to say that this is not a birchas mitzvah at all. It's actually a bracha of shevach. If you take a look at Sursiat Beis, the Gemara in Brachos, Yud Aleph and Beis, Rav Hamnuna Omar, Asher Bachar Banu Bikala Amim and Aslanu Es Taraso. The Gemara there brings different possibilities for what the bracha is supposed to be, and ends up saying, well, let's just say all the brachas. But Rav Hamnuna says, it's Asher Bachar Banu and so on, Baruch Hashem Nosein HaTorah, and Amar Rav Hamnuna, Zohi Ma'ula Shema Brachos. Rav Hamnuna says, that's the best of the brachas. So in Source Yigimel, Rashi explains, why is Asher Bachar Banu the best of the brachas? Zohi Ma'ula Shema Brachos HaTorah, Lefi Sheyesh Baha Da'a LaMakom, because there is thanks to God, Vekilus, praise, LaTorah Uli Yisrael, for Torah and Israel. That's what makes this a beautiful bracha. I wonder if kilos, just thinking about it, is connected to the Greek word kalos.
What does that mean?
Kalos is their term for perfect beauty. I wonder if that's what kilos... And kilos clearly is not a Hebrew word. The only question is where did it come from, and I wonder... Sorry? Mm. So in any case, that wasn't the point of the source. So the point of the source is that he views the bracha on Kriyas HaTorah as beautiful because, or the best because, it thanks Hashem for giving us the Torah and it praises the Torah and Israel. Take a look at Source Yudalad, Rabbeinu Yonah. V'hadir Rav Hamnuna Ma'ula Sheva Brachas M'dei Shemazkir Sham Shevach Yisrael V'Shevach HaTorah. It praises Israel and it praises Torah. That's what makes it great. So the and as we already mentioned, it omits Vitzivanu, right? So it's a bracha of Shevach Vehodah. Now, is everybody able then to make it? Is anybody able to stand up and recite a bracha of Birkas Shevach Vehodah?
Because there is a coercion of speech.
Maybe, maybe not. Take a look at the Bach in Source Tezvav. He's dealing with the question of whether there's a bracha or whether one may make a bracha when removing tefillin. And he says, you can't say a bracha on removing tefillin. Lefiyani is daiti nira. The ikal ha-chalik, he's talking about in general, he has this general discussion about saying brachas when you're not obligated to them. And he says, the ikal ha-chalik ben birka shachiyanu l'shar brachos. I would distinguish between shachiyanu, which you may, as far as the Bach sees it, you may say any time you feel joy, and other brachos. He says, with Shechianu, even if you're not obligated in it, you haven't violated anything by saying the bracha, as long as you're happy and you're saying to God, thank you so much for bringing me to this day. You didn't say Hashem's name in vain. You are happy. That's Shechianu. Avokan, but here, in the bracha on taking off your tefillin, where apparently they're going to have a bracha with an asher kitshanu v'sasav tzivanu in it.
Taking off tefillin?
Correct. Avokan de mevarech asher kitshanu v'sasav tzivanu, pshita de kevan de ika safek eno yachol avarech v'lomar v'tzivanu, davya safek bracha levatala de azul divrei akol. He says, you can't do that there, because it involves a shachianu, and there is no command that you are fulfilling. He didn't command you to take off tefillin. You have to go see there the discussion about why you'd have a bracha on taking off tefillin. Ayin Sham. The Melech HaShlomo, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach, says that you shouldn't be so stuck on Vitzivanu. In Sois Tezayim. He says, Iker HaTam She'en HaNashim Mevarachas HaMitzvah Sasei Shazman Grama Eino Mishum She'tzarech Lomar Vitzivanu. He says, the reason why women would not make a bracha on a mitzvah sasei shehazman grama is not really because of the word vitzivanu. Ki zeh yecholim lomar. You could always say vitzivanu. Ke hoda'a al guf hatzivui shel hamitzvah. You are thanking for the fact that there is such a mitzvah. Even if it's not yours. Yeah.
Not on you.
Not on me, but Klal Yisrael. The question is bar la'el. That's a side note as to what bracha women should make when they sit in the sukkah. He says the reason why women don't take on brachos, according to the view that women do not, in fact, take on brachos that they're exempt from, is because the Chachamim created the bracha for a certain class of people. These people say this bracha. And if so, the argument could be made, if the Chachamim created, I'm now going beyond Rosh Shlomo Zalman, this is not Rosh Shlomo Zalman's words, what's coming next, but the argument would be that they created Kriyas HaTorah. If they did not create it for women also, then women are not able to take on this bracha of Shabbat Vahoda. That would be the argument in response. They could take on the mitzvah, but they can't take on the bracha. The bracha was enacted just for those people for whom the mitzvah was created, and therefore it would be bracha levatala for them to recite it. That's the argument. It's not like Birkas HaMitzvah, where Vitzivanu is something that says, thank you God for creating a chiyuv for somebody. Shevach v'hodah, in a sense, could be more limited than Birkas HaMitzvah. And it could be only for those for whom they said, you should be Meshabayach. So for example, if I say, you know, I was really impressed, I saw a film, and they showed thunder and lightning. And wow, was it impressive. I want to make the bracha of Osama Zebraishis. What do you tell me? No. That's not what they created the bracha for. The bracha was not created for hearing machines replicate thunder. No offense to Internet Minyanu. The bracha was not made for that. The bracha was made for experiencing it live. So, I'm making all of this up. I haven't seen a tshuva on the question of whether you can make a bracha on a recording. It's an interesting question. But the point is that if the Talmud Torah was created as, Kriyas HaTorah was created as for males, leaving aside the question of, well, then how are women getting one of the Sheva Aliyos? But if that were true, maybe the argument would be that even if this is a Berachah Shavach HaHodah, they can't take it on. That if it was a Berachah HaMitzvah, they could. But as a Berachah Shavach HaHodah, they cannot. Sorry?
It's the opposite.
The exact opposite of what I would have thought.
But doesn't the whole thing fly out the window? Because how can you say they're part of the Shiva, meaning Shiva? But
so that's what we have to explain. I mean, the answer may be because they were getting one of the middle brachos. Or the answer may be that they got one of the aliyos that's not a chiyuv, and therefore they can, that wouldn't help for their bracha for themselves. That would only help for the listeners. Sorry, chiyuv. But there will be ways to deal with the problem. Yeah.
If we say that we're according to the third sheet of the nature of the LDOR, that the first three would be some sort of different.
Yeah.
The reading itself.
The reading itself.
They would have to say that the problems for those three are before the mitzvah, and afterwards are not before the mitzvah.
I'm not sure you have to say that. I'm not sure you have to say that. No. I could still call
it. At some point, they would have to read it.
Yeah.
The brachas that you're making, if the mitzvah is kriya, then you need the other people in the minyan who are not being there, are being shomer ona, then the bracha acts as that.
Does it have to?
I don't know what the nature of that is.
Right, I mean, part of the question is really what's this next piece that we're going to say, which is the question of who is supposed to recite Berachas HaTorah on the Aliyah. Who exactly is supposed to be the one to say Berachas HaTorah? And maybe listen to this and then see if this clarifies it or just makes things worse. If I take the view that Kriyas HaTorah is a chiyuv for each individual, okay, meaning that I, as a listener, am obligated also in Kriyas HaTorah. So how will I view the bracha on the Aliyah? One way to look at it is to say that I'm not sure, I'm just looking at my sheet and wondering why I did it in the order that I did, but I must have had a reason. One way to look at it is, all of us have to hear the brachos, and it's a shomaya ka'one. The person making the bracha on the Aliyah is doing it on our behalf. Right? The other way to look at it is that only the ole needs to say the brachos. It's about his experience. Kriyas HaTorah, all of us have to hear. But the bracha is for the ole. Take a look on your sheet at the Me'iri.
This is assuming that we all know that it's correct.
Take a look at the Me'iri. Me'iri writes, HaPosech Ma'achosein B'Shabbos Mevarech Lefonah U'La'acharel. Right? The one who gets the Aliyah, who starts and finishes, meaning the opening and closing Olim, make the bracha before and after. Perish B'Gemara, Shaposeach, V'hu HaKohen, Mevarech Lefonah, V'Hamesayim, Mevarech L'Acharel. Right? That's the idea. First Aliyah, last Aliyah. Shekol HaKriya, Mitzvah Achas. The whole reading is one big mitzvah. That's the reason to have only one set of brachos. Ve'ein bracha, L'Barosh HaMitzvah, U'Besofa. V'nimtzu ha'imtzo'iyim niftar mebirkas harishon v'achron. So the middle people got their brachos with the first and last. Ela sheniro li shetzarech she'akorin ha'imtzo'iyim yiyu sham mitchila v'yatzof. Kedesh yishmu ha'brachos v'yetzu b'shmi asam. It would seem to me, he says, that the Olim, the middle Olim, have to have been there to have heard the opening bracha, and they have to stay to hear the closing bracha. Right? Kadeshi Yishmu HaBrachas V'yetsu B'Shmi Yassam, so that they can hear and fulfill their obligation for the bracha for their aliyah, right? You follow? That all the Olim, Chagai gets Hamishi, he's not making a bracha. So he has to be there for Kaleh. And he has to be there until Shvi. Because he has to hear the opening and closing brachas. They're his brachas too. That's the argument that he's making. Umikomakom imratzu lasos mikol kriya ukriya mitzvah achas. But if they wish to make each individual aliyah into an independent mitzvah, vishi yavarchu kulam, and all of them will say brachos, ein kan mishum bracha levatala. This would not be a bracha in vain, says the Meiri. Vosha pirshu b'gemara, as they say in the Gemara, sha'achar mishnezu, tiknu levarech kol echad b'tchilak, b'tchilas kriyaso, u'besofa. Just like you see in the Gemara, that later than this time, that they enacted that everybody should make an aliyah, first and last, not just the first and last. B'tchilasa, gzer mishum arech nasin, shema yakshim olav shu rishon. The reason for those who enter, because they might think he's the first Olev, and Yiru She'enu Mavarech Lefaneha, Yom Olev She'en Bracha Batara Lefaneha, they're going to think he's the first Olev. He didn't make a bracha, and therefore they're going to think there is no such thing as an opening bracha, because they're always late. They're late every week, and they think it's just starting whenever they show up. Printed Chumashim would have solved the problem too. Uvisofa, and at the end, Mishum Hayotzin, Shema Yachshu Olev Shu'achon, lest the people who are leaving think that's the end. And if they leave and think that was the last aliyah and there was no closing bracha, they think there is no such thing as a closing bracha. One really wonders about this. Nonetheless, but that's his first approach, is that the idea is that the middle people have to hear the bracha. The bracha is really for them. We're not concerned about the nichmasim and yotzim missing the bracha, just about what they're going to think. The only one we're concerned about is the Oleh. So according to this first take, the Olim have to have the brachos. The Yesh Mefarshim, but then he continues to say, some say, Mishuma nechnasin shayikansu bein rishon l'sheni l'shmoa kriyas ha-Torah, v'nimtze shmi'asam shalo b'bracha l'faneha. The concern is, no, people are going to come in late and they're going to miss hearing the bracha. They're going to hear some of kriyas ha-Torah, but without a bracha. Umishum hayotzin, and the people who leave, sheyetu kodem sheyikra ha'acharon, they're going to leave before the last person reads. Ve'ein shomen bracha achara, they are missing the after bracha. Vasmach perush zeh, nagu v'tsarfas levarech v'kol beinoni lashmiya l'kol as ha'brachos. And he says, based on this view, the view that even the listeners have to hear the bracha, in France, the practice is that you make sure that you say the bracha in an intermediate voice, such that everybody can hear it, as opposed to a low voice. He doesn't mean putting a max on it, but putting a minimum on it. He wants to make sure that everybody will hear all of the brachas, right? When somebody gets up to the Torah, and he makes the bracha in a very quiet voice, this view is not going to be happy. According to this view, that everybody needs to hear the bracha. So, the Meiri presents two views. One, the bracha is just for the Olim, or that the bracha is for everybody to hear. That's all within the view that the bracha on Kriyas HaTorah, that mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah is an obligation for each individual. What if I take the view that Kriyas HaTorah is a communal obligation? So the Harari Kedem brings the following idea. I gave you the reference for it, but I wasn't going to retype it, but we have Harari Kedem here. The Meiri said that they created brachas for each Oleh because people entering or leaving would miss hearing the bracha, right? That was his second view that he presented. That indicates that you need to hear the brachos, and we fulfill our obligation by hearing it from the Olev. That we need to hear the brachos, and so we fulfill our obligation by hearing it from the Olev, meaning any Olev. And he says, and this goes back to the point about the difference in the bracha before and the bracha after, the Rambam in Hilchos Tfila, when he presents this, did I bring it on here? No, I didn't. In Hilchos Tfila, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Hei, records the brachos, and he says that after the first bracha, you say amen. But when he mentions the last bracha, he doesn't say you say amen. He doesn't mention an amen for the closing bracha. Why? If you go back to the psukim from Nehemiah that we quoted last week, which have the original Kriyas HaTorah of Ezra there, so there, it has Ezra do the bracha before he does the public reading, and it says they answered amen, but with the bracha afterwards, it does not say amen. In the psukim that we quoted last week. So he suggests that the Rambam believes that the bracha beforehand is a bracha of Birkas HaMetzvah, of Talmud Torah, Kishem Hashem Ekra HaVugodah LeElokeinu, and it's a communal obligation. And the bracha afterwards is Sakanas Chachamim for Shevach V'Hodah.
The first bracha is a communal obligation of?
Of everybody participating in giving this bracha. I don't know if he calls it a Birkas HaMetzvah, but he says a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah that the community is about to engage in.
A woman could do that,
no? I'm leaving aside the woman question, just in general in the nature of the bracha. The point is that it's a Birkas HaMetzvah. I'm only presenting it because it's a fascinating point of view.
Who says that it's a communal? Why can't it be you have your own?
Because everybody answered Amen.
That's right, so maybe it's to fill your own obligation.
Then it's... Oh, you mean communal versus individual? Yeah, in a chanani. You could read it as being individual obligation.
So you're saying... this is more interesting because the two brachas are different kind of brachas, they're opening and closing.
Yeah. This is an interesting note. The Rambam, though, when he presents this, and the Meiri as well, presented that any member of the community can say this bracha and have the others fulfill their obligation via Shomea Ka'one. Take a look, though, at this Rashba. The Rashba deals with the case of somebody who doesn't know how to read from the Torah. Okay, someone doesn't know how to read. So he says, She'ela, or She'alta, you ask. Mi She'eno Yodea Likros Batorah, Mao She'yala V'yivarech V'yisaknesis Birkas HaTorah, V'yikra Achir V'mekomo. If someone doesn't know how to read, is he allowed to go get the bracha, to go get the aliyah, make the bracha, and let somebody else read for him? Like the takana of Baal Kriya, in other words. So tshuva, Amrinan Birushalmi, the nasna la'acher ubirech aleha. Ma nosna la'acher umavarech aleha, ze kore veze mevarech. Okay, that's talking about Megillas Esther. The idea that one person could make the bracha on the Megillah, and then give the Megillah to somebody else who's actually going to do the reading. So he says, look, Vari Megillah Shachayavin Likrosa Kamo Shachayavin Bekriyas Hatara Bitsibur Beis HaKnesses. He says there's an obligation of reading the Megillah, just like there's an obligation of Kriyas Hatara in Shul. Vafilu Achi Aminin Shezek Karei V'zem Avarech. We say that one can make the brachas on the Megillah, and the other person can read it. I'm going to finish up with this. The Vachanami Loshna, no different than for Kriyas Hatara. Vahalanami Shabirech V'lo Kara Lo Havalei Mevarech Levatala. And as far as the person who made the bracha but didn't actually do the reading, that's not called bracha levatala. Dekevan Shekriyas HaTorah Chiyuva Ditzibur Hu. He says it's a communal mitzvah. Shabre Hamatzi Levat Mevarech Apopin She'eno Korei. He can say the bracha even though he's not actually being the one to do the reading. So the way that the Frembers read this position of the Rashba, although I think there is another way you could read it, but the way that he reads it, and take a look at his footnote 149 for more, any member of the community can say the bracha, fulfilling it for everybody else, not even as Shomea Ka'one. Not even as Shomea Ka'one, but just in general. There's a communal mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and under the framework of this communal mitzvah of Talmud Torah, some member of the community has to say the bracha. Anybody. Not necessarily the person getting the aliyah. It's a wildly different view of how I look at the brachas on Kriyas HaTorah.
Any member of the community can say the bracha for anyone else?
Not for. The mitzvah is, I have to hear. It's almost as though he's saying, you could do the following. Guy gets up there to get an aliyah. You can't hear his bracha. You at your seat can say the bracha. And then hear the aliyah. That's what it sounds like he's saying. You're in shul, and they call up somebody who you don't like. Sorry? It's not on the Ola, that's correct. Anybody can make the bracha. Doesn't make a difference. I think he also says, I wrote in my notes, but I don't see it in the excerpt that I brought here. I think he even says here that even if you don't hear that bracha made, you actually are Yotzei. Somebody made the bracha. But that's not in the excerpt that I brought, so I'm not sure where I'm getting that from.
It sounds like there's some music.
Yeah, it does sound like that.
This is true.
Like, it tells us that's all about Kriyas HaTorah. Yeah, I hear that. So what we've accomplished...
Is waving the flag case about Shimon Esrei, but...
Well, that was Tosos' comment, that it was Kriyas HaTorah, not Shimon Esrei. Tosos is not, it's right. Not a communal obligation.
How would other people read that Maisa? About something else?
Or they'll say, you know, somehow it's enough that you said the Amen at the right time.
We learned by the flag case that...
that was Tosfos, right. Because he said it was a chovah, you couldn't fulfill it that way. So we have three approaches to the nature of the mitzvah. Is it that there should be a Kriyas HaTorah? Is it that I have to hear Kriyas HaTorah? Or is it that we all have to say Kriyas HaTorah and we are only fulfilling via Shomei Ka'ona? According to that third approach, how do we fulfill the obligation via the Ola? The Ola has to be a Bar Chiyuva, who is now doing it for me. And then the question of, well, what did the women do? Either they are Mechuyav or they're doing some other parts of the Aliyos. They're doing the ones after the first three, whatever you're going to say. We shifted then to talk about the brachos on Kriyas HaTorah and said, three says it's a Birkas HaMetzvah very explicitly. Rashi, Rabbeinu Yonah, seemed to say that it's Shevach VeHodah. Being Shevach VeHodah may not mean that anybody can say it, because maybe it's only for those people for whom it was enacted. And then the question is, was it enacted for women or not? We still have to come back to that. And then in terms of the question of who actually is supposed to recite these Birkas HaTorah, so if Kriyas HaTorah is an obligation for each individual, not for the as a communal thing, we still have two different views in the Meiri. One view that it's the Oleh, and the other view that it's actually for everybody, and everyone needs to hear the brachos. It depends on how I understand the Gemara about Mishum HaNechnasin and Mishum HaYotzin. Right? That's really what it's about. Is it that they're going to misunderstand, or that they're going to miss their brachos? So, that's a key point. And then, lastly, the view that Kriyas HaTorah is a communal obligation, and therefore, even if someone who's not the Oleh can be the one to do it, you could have anybody theoretically be the one to recite this, and it's not even a Shomei Ka'one issue. It's simply that, as long as somebody made the bracha, that's good enough. Follow? Hopefully? We're going to end up tying it all together when we get to the question of counting women towards this, and we have to actually apply all of these things. So at that point, I think it'll tie together. We still have to do one last piece next week, God willing, on what a Baal Kriya is. What is this idea that somebody else is going to get up to do it, and how the Ola recites the bracha if he isn't leaning, which obviously ties back into this Rashba. But we'll see more about it, God willing, next week.